That still leaves a lot of Mars for him.
Yeah, but we've got the good parts.
Or your Redskin pals do. Then it can work.
Yeah, sure, Dex said, sobering.
Only one problem.
What's that?
There goes the funding for the next expedition. Dex was too excited to do any useful work. He went to the geology lab, but spent his time sending frantic messages toward Earth, calling lawyers and professors of international law. Finally, after several hours, Wiley Craig looked up from the heat flow map he was working on and shook his head.
Hey, buddy, whatever you're doing, it ain't on the work schedule.
Dex looked up from his computer screen. I'm gathering information, Wiley.
Not about geology, I bet.
No, that's damn straight. Dex got up from the stool and headed for the door of the lab. I've got to get over to the second dome. Got to talk with Jamie face to face. Wiley merely shook his head and returned to his work, muttering,
Well, somebody's got to get the job done.
Stacy was not surprised that Dex wanted to join Jamie at Dome 2. But she was not sympathetic, either.
You have work to do here, she said sternly, standing in the middle of the comm center like an immobile linebacker. Task assignments are...
You want me to walk to the canyon? Dex snapped. I've got to go there, Stace. The funding for the next expedition is important, for Christ's sake. She planted her chunky fists on her hips.
You are going to raise $10 billion over at the canyon?
Dex gave her a boyish grin.
Maybe, maybe not. But we're sure as hell going to lose $10 billion if we can't work out a way to get around my father.
Dezhurova snorted. Before she could reply, though, Vijay stuck her head through the open comm center doorway.
Did I hear you say you wanted to take a rover out to Dome 2? She asked.
I'd like to go there, too.
What?
Why? Dezhurova demanded.
I need to run physical exams on the people there, Vijay answered. And psych profiles.
The cosmonaut raised her eyes to heaven.
Maybe we should all go and abandon this dome completely.
I've been saying that for months, Dex replied, grinning mischievously.
Go, Dezhurova blurted, nearly shouting the word. Forget about the work. Go traipsing around anywhere you like.
Now don't be sore, Stace, Dex said soothingly. If it wasn't really important, I wouldn't do it. You know that.
I know that you always get your way. Go. Take the old rover. At least leave me with one of the new machines.
Night fell before they were even a quarter of the way to Dome 2, but Dex kept driving through the darkness, slowly but still making progress. Sitting beside him in the rover's cockpit, Vijay saw that wheel tracks across the dust-covered ground were clearly visible in the rover's headlights.
You're following the beaten path, she said.
Yep, makes it easier. You know you're not going to hit any major rocks or craters.
Is Jamie's idea really going to work?
Vijay asked, turning slightly in the seat to look squarely at Dex.
Will he be able to keep your father from taking over this region?
Looks that way, Dex said, watching his driving. But the other side of the coin is that we lose my father's drive for funding the next expedition. Vijay thought about that for a moment, then said,
So you'll have to take his place.
What? Dex glanced at her, his eyes wide, startled.
If your father won't raise the money for the next expedition, then you'll have to do it.
He pressed the brake pedals and brought the rover to a halt. Slowly, methodically, he shut down the drive motors.
I'll have to do it, he muttered.
Who else?
Dex seemed lost in thought as they went back to the galley and microwaved their dinners. They ate in almost total silence. Vijay could see that Dex's mind was 100 million kilometers away. The thing is, he said as they cleaned up the table, I've never gone against my father. I've always had to do things his way, unless I could wheedle him around to make him think that what I wanted was his idea in the first place.
Now you're going to have to stand up to him, Vijay said.
Dex nodded slowly.
I don't know if I can.
Don't you think it's about time you found out?
They were standing by the galley sink, between the microwave and the racks of hard suits. Dex grasped Vijay's arm just above the elbow and pulled her toward him. She put the flat of her free hand against his chest.
No, Dex.
No.
There must be several million women waiting for you to return to Earth. You'll have your pick of them.
"That's then," he said. "This is now."
"I'm afraid not."
He let out a breath. "Jamie, huh?"
"Jamie,"
she admitted. "He's a lucky guy." Now she sighed.
"I wish he knew that."
Dex looked puzzled.
"He's in love with Mars," DJ explained. "I've got this whole bloody planet for a rival."
News conference. Darryl C. Trumbull was not accustomed to the glare of publicity. He preferred to remain in the background and let his hirelings and puppets face the public. But as the first ordinary person to go to Mars, he had become a celebrity. Now, a scant 4 days before the backup mission was scheduled to launch from Cape Canaveral, he found himself sharing a long table with four young archaeologists and two astronauts, staring out at a sea of reporters and photographers who filled the auditorium to overflowing. Like his crewmates, Trumbull wore coral red coveralls bearing the stylish logo of the second Mars expedition over his heart. He was, of course, older than any of them, older than any two of them put together almost, but he was slim and hard and fit. No one knew the fear that chilled his blood. No one could hear how his heart thundered in his chest when he thought of actually climbing into that flying bomb and riding it all the way to distant, freezing, dangerous Mars. "Why isn't this mission called the Third Expedition?" a reporter was shouting from the floor. "This is a backup mission for the Second Expedition," explained the senior astronaut, an old hand at fielding inane questions. "We're going specifically to explore the ancient building that's been discovered in the cliffs of the Grand Canyon of Mars," said the chief archaeologist, all of 40 years old. "What about the Third Expedition?" another reporter asked. "Will there be a Third Expedition?" Everyone along the table turned to Trumbull. "Yes," he assured them all smoothly, "there will be a third Mars expedition." "When? How soon?" "We're working out the details," Trumbull said. "What about other kinds of flights to Mars?" a woman asked. "When will we be able to take vacations there?" A slight snickering laugh tittered through the newspeople. But Trumbull answered the planted question. "That's why I'm going along with the scientists. I want to show the world that ordinary people can go to Mars, can see for themselves the glories of the vanished Martian civilization, walk where the Martians walked, reach the peak of the tallest mountain in the solar system, explore the longest, widest, deepest Grand Canyon of them all." Several of the archaeologists looked dismayed, but no one dared to contradict Trumbull. "Why you, sir?" asked a bald, portly reporter from the last row of the auditorium. "Why do you have to go yourself? Couldn't someone, of less prominence be sent instead?" Trumbull smiled patiently. "You mean, why would an old fart like me want to go?" Everyone laughed. "I want to show that even someone of my age can make the trip easily and enjoy it." He paused, made certain the newspeople were hanging on his next words, then went on. "But remember, older men than I have gone into space, starting with Senator Glenn nearly 40 years ago." "But all the way to Mars?" "Yes," Trumbull said, still keeping his smile in place. "All the way to Mars. I'll be the first of millions of ordinary men and women to go there. Besides," he added silently, "there's money to be made up there, and I'm going to make damn certain nobody screws me out of it." Afternoon. Sol 368. Jamie was hanging in the climbing harness, scraping rock samples from the cliff face when the message came through.
"You did it!"
Dex's voice sounded exultant in his helmet earphones.
"Listen to this!"
It was the message from the president of the Navajo Nation, the message he'd been waiting for. Jamie wished he could see the man's face, but his words were good enough to make him burn with pride and gratitude. "The Navajo people accept the responsibility of claiming utilization rights to the areas of Mars explored by the second Mars expedition," the president said slowly, as if reading from a prepared script. "We intend to hold it in trust for all the peoples of Earth, and to encourage the careful scientific study of the planet Mars and all